Hey, Taban, you remember that AD episode from a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, I heard something about that.
Yeah, you know, with even with all that drinking, I felt freaking great the next day. No hangover, nothing. And you know why?
I mean, I have no idea what those things are, but I do want to know why.
Well, because I took Brode Electrolyte Vitamins. They're like super Gatorade in a vitamin. Anyway, I felt so great the next day that I emailed them and I said to them, hey, man, great product. And you know what? The CEO emails me back to say, thanks.
Oh, nice.
Love to hear from fans. What are you guys up to? And bam, just
bam.
Like that, bam, just like that, Brode Electrolyte Vitamins becomes a supporter of this show.
Wow.
I know.
That's pretty great. Thank you, Brode.
Thank you, Brode. I mean, who likes being hungover or dehydrated? So guess what? We've got a special deal for all our listeners. Go to Brode Electrolyte Vitamins website at brode.co. That's brode.co. There's no M. And use the code BFFT at checkout to get 25% off your order with no limit to your order size. The more you order, the more you save. And on top of that, Brode will donate 25% of the proceeds from every order using the code BFFT back to the show to help support its production. So it's a win-win-win for everyone.
That's awesome.
So that's Brode, B-R-O-D-E, .co.
It really is. I mean, Brode gets stuff. We get things. You furs get things. It's kind of great.
And remember, that's Brode.co and code BFFT at checkout. Hangovers are the worst, and this stuff is the best. So go to Brode.co and use code BFFT. Caw, caw. I don't know what's going on. I just start the button whenever I feel like it in the middle of something rambly. And but you know, Taban, I had a dream last night.
Did? Was it a good one?
Well, I dreamt that I was a muffler on my pickup truck.
That's crazy.
I woke up exhausted.
Oh, yeah. That is crazy. That's very crazy.
That's nuts. Yeah. That's nuts, I tell you.
So did you do anything last night?
Well, I got drunk a little bit last night. And yeah, I tried to impress this guy by swallowing a bunch of Scrabble tiles.
How does that impress anyone?
Well, I don't know, but this morning my trip to the bathroom spelled disaster.
Oh. Pop. Pop it did.
Yeah, you know, we usually end our show with jokes, but we seem to be starting them with jokes now, too.
Oh.
What about you? Anything new?
Well, I hear that there's something going on with, like, the high school's senior class this year. Something's happening in the news. I saw that. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah. You know, I feel bad for the senior class this year. You know, they say that your senior year flies. I just didn't know it would Zoom.
Oh, I didn't either. You know, speaking of things that Zoom by,
yes.
My friend actually bet me $1,000 that I could not turn spaghetti into a car, and you should have seen the look on her face when I drove pasta.
Indeed. So I think we told that joke like many, many episodes ago.
We had to revisit, I guess.
It had to be revisited. Right, so let's... Mumbai! So let's get to our show, shall we?
Please. I hear the music. That's so
great.
The
music is playing, yes. This is Barely Furcasting, featuring Taban and Injured Nerves audio production. Okay, well, hello, greetings and salutations, aloha, guten tag, and mubark fluff to all our listeners in the Potiverse. I think my thing now is going to be, instead of a rhyme, how many different greetings can I get in there?
Ah, there you go.
It's like, I am Barely Normal. Welcome to our little corner of the internet. And with me is my co-host.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi is your co-host. Hi there. My name is Taban. I'm a pup. Bark, bark. And it's great to be here. How are you, Mr. Barely? How's your week been?
Oh, my week's been pretty good. Actually, it's been not too exciting and not too boring.
Well, that's perfect.
Just the right amount of whatever. Yeah. It's like,
whatever those things are. That's great.
Those things are, it was the right amount of them. How about you? How's your week been?
About the same. I think just about the blah, 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 like that. I think it's about the same, just about the right lack of or amount of what you just said. You know, and I found out that Will Rogers, you know, he was a great comedian and actor and everything back in the like early 1900s or something, I guess.
He was a cowboy.
He was a cowboy. That's right.
Yes, right.
And my dad told me a quote from Will Rogers that I had heard, but I think it's very true. There are three kinds of men: the ones that learn by reading, the few who learn by observation, and then the rest of them that have to pee on the electric fence for themselves.
Inconceivable!
And yes. I believe he said that.
Have you ever peed on an electric fence?
I do. I am not going to. I have not, and I don't plan to.
I have.
How was that? I didn't mean to.
It was electrifying. It was shocking. That's what it was.
You were exhausted afterwards.
I was, but no, I, in high school, we were at a party out in the barn somewhere. And of course, high schoolers drink, right? No, they never do. Never.
They drink water and milk and things. Yeah.
Yeah. So I went out to take a leak and peed right on the electric, right on the little cow fence. And damn, didn't do that again.
So you learned. You definitely learned.
I learned by doing, yes.
By doing. And speaking of, so you're smart. And we all our listeners out there know how smart you are. So I have a question for you and see if you get it.
What's that?
What word becomes shorter by adding two letters?
What word becomes shorter by adding two letters? I have heard this before. I don't know. What word comes, whatever you said, by adding two letters?
The word short. You add the letters E-R.
All right, it becomes shorter, yes.
Oh. I have another question for you.
Okay, please do tell me.
And I know you know the answer to this one. I hope, well, I don't know, maybe you don't.
Maybe I don't, I don't know.
What is your favorite kind of burrito?
My favorite kind of burrito?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say a beef burrito?
Sounds correct to me. Ding, ding,
okay.
ding.
Okay.
Now all you furries know, Barely's favorite kind of burrito.
What did that have to do with anything?
It's just a question that I had for you.
Oh, it was just a question. Oh, okay. All right. Well,
that's the only thing it had to do with.
Okay.
Now I'm exhausted.
Right. You're exhausted. Yeah. Sorry. Yes. I woke up as anyway. So the past today, I have nothing for the past today, actually.
I have two past today. Well,
okay.
Three, really. But okay. So last week, I started singing Weird Al's Taco Grande, just like out of nowhere. Do you remember I did
that? Yes, you did.
Yeah.
Yes,
I
remember it well.
Temporarily, very well. And then I temporarily forgot, like I got stuck, like I forgot some lyrics. But I remembered them. So I would like to continue now.
Oh, you would like to continue?
Continue.
Would you like to just start over? Because I know I cut you off last week.
I am going to have to start over because I was trying to remember where like I forgot and got left off. So I'm just going to start over. Okay?
Okay.
Here we go.
Here we go.
There's some music thing. We're waiting with bated breath and fishing and everything.
I know.
And there's this music and goes do taco do grande do. This is very exciting right now. Taco grande. Yo quiero chimichanga y chile colorado. Yo tengo dinero, prune, steak picado. Your plates is tamales siempre muy bueno y chile relleno. You see, ya just gotta have tostada, carne asada. That's right, I want the whole enchilada. My only addiction has to do with the flour tortilla. I need a quesadilla. I love to stuff my face with tacos out to... I think this is where I got stuck, but now I remember it. I love to stuff my face with tacos al carbón with my friends, and when I'm all alone, yo tengo mucho hambre y orlo quiero un burrito ranchero. So give me something spicy and hot now. Break out the menu, what you got now? Oh, what do you tell the waiter? I'd like to have sour cream on the side. You better make sure the beans are already fried. Taco. Grande. Taco receiver. Grande. And I'll continue with verse 2 next time. Well, I won't be here next week, but week after next, I will continue
with verse 2.
With verse 2.
It's the never ending song.
It's the never ending song. But
every
now
other
I know where I left off. So next time I'll start with verse 2.
Oh,
from there.
You're gonna drive our editor crazy.
I'm good at that from what I understand. Mm-hmm. So that was my first pass today. My other pass today is also last week. Uh-huh. I said that ska was the successor to reggae. I misspoke. I meant the precursor. It actually came before reggae. Reggae was the kind of...
Really?
Yeah, it's very surprising. But
did it,
so,
huh? Did it start with jazz, perhaps?
Jazz, American jazz turned out to be a big influence. And then ska originated in the 1950s. And then reggae came along in the 1960s. So you might remember.
I did not. I'm sorry. I hate to interrupt you because I know you're on a roll, but I have a question.
Yes.
I thought ska was like in the 1970s and 80s. I thought ska came way later in the century.
Well, there are three waves of ska. And the second wave of ska came in the 1970s to the 1980s is what you're thinking of. And so that actually naturally brings us to my next topic, because I mentioned I might do this last week. And I did a tweet. So last week I said, maybe I'll do something of the history and politics of ska next time.
Correct.
So I posted a Twitter poll. If anyone would be, not should I do it, like would anyone be interested in it?
Should I do it? Because everybody would say, yes, do it.
Let's do it. Or just no, do don't it. Do it. It's like, no. So I'll phrase it as, would anyone be interested in? And like, no one ever pays attention to me or my Twitter or anything. I had a whole 10 people, 10 furs respond, and 8 out of 10 would be interested. So I will. Here is a brief history and politics of ska. So first of all, what is ska? Well, ska is a music genre that originated in Jamaica in the late 1950s and was the precursor to reggae, contrary to popular belief. There are many subgenres, but originally combined elements of Caribbean calypso, American jazz, and R&B. There are three primary waves of ska. The first, also known as Jamaican ska, the second, or two-tone, and the third. So first, let's talk about first wave ska, which was about the late 1950s to the mid-1970s. After World War II, Jamaicans started buying radios and listening to Southern U.S. R&B music, particularly from New Orleans, by artists such as Fats Domino, Barbie Gay, and Roscoe Gordon. In the 1950s, Jamaican producers began recording their own versions of these genres and musical influences. A new beat formed in Jamaica from the shuffling rhythm of American pianist Roscoe Gordon and with Caribbean influences such as calypso and the mambo. This was pioneered by people such as Derek Morgan, Prince Buster, big name in original ska, and Toots Hibbert. This new beat is characterized by a choppy offbeat guitar rhythm, which back then made the sound ska, hence the origin of the word. Also characteristic of most ska music is the inclusion of a horn section, so saxophone, trumpet, and trombone. The music style also formed its own form of dance called skanking. The uplifting ska sounds coincided with Jamaica's independence from the United Kingdom in 1962, and some of the leading studio musicians at the time started the first ska band by the name of the Scudderlites. Jamaica's independence was commemorated by songs such as Derek Morgan's Forward March and the Scudderlites' Freedom Sound. The first ska recordings were recorded at renowned Jamaican record labels such as Federal Records, Studio One, and Wirl, W-I-R-L, Records. Until Jamaican ratified the Berne Convention for the Protection of Literacy and Artistic Works, which actually wasn't until 1994, the country did not honor international music copyright protection, and so numerous covers and reinterpretations of already existing songs were created, one of which was Barbie Gay's My Boy Lollipop, which was first recorded by Gay in New York in 1956. This cover sold over 7 million copies internationally and remains one of the best-selling reggae/ska songs of all time. Other well-known American songs were also covered and reinterpreted and recorded, such as The Beatles' And I Love Her, Bob Dylan's Like a Rolling Stone, and movie theme songs such as that from The Guns of Navarone. Byron Lee and the Dragonaires, who played a crucial pioneering role in bringing Caribbean music to the world, performed ska with Prince Buster and others at the 1964 World Fair, and ska's popularity just grew in Jamaica. By 1968, the sound of ska had morphed into what we now know as reggae. So second wave ska, also known as the two-tone era, which was about 1979 to 1985. Jerry Dammers, founder of the UK-based ska band The Specials, founded the record label Two Tone Records in 1979. The label hosted other prominent second wave ska bands such as The English Beat, The Selector, and Manus, who was, by the way, a very effective band in bringing the two-tone genre into the mainstream. This era of ska differed from the previous wave in that it was a fusion of Jamaican ska rhythms with punk rock's more aggressive guitar chords and lyrics. Two-tone music has faster tempos, fuller instrumentation, and a quote-unquote harder edge, and often classic ska songs would even be reworked into born-again hits in the UK. The two-tone movement promoted racial unity at a time when racial tensions were at a high in England. So many ska songs, especially songs from The Specials in this era, were politically charged and raised awareness of issues of racism, fighting, and friendship. The music of this era resonated with the white working class youth, in particular skinheads, and West Indian immigrants. All these people of which who experienced the struggles that were in the lyrics. So they formed a bond with this type of music. Fans of two-tone became known as Rude Boys, Rude Girls, and Rudies, which is a term originating from the 1960s Jamaican street culture. So that brings us into third wave ska, which was about the mid-1980s to the present, pretty much. I'll mention a little bit more about that in towards the end here. By the 1980s, two-tone-influenced ska bands began forming around the world. In the United States, in particular, two-tone and the emerging punk scene intermingled to form this new era of quote-unquote third-wave ska. The sound is predominantly characterized by dominating guitar riffs and large horn sections. Orange County, California, and New York City were two hotspots for ska in the U.S. In 1981, the first prominent U.S. ska bands of this new wave formed, the Uptones from Berkeley, California, and the Toasters from New York City. In 1983, the Toasters' frontman Robert Hindley formed the independent record label Moon Ska Records, which quickly became the largest independent ska label in the U.S. In the mid-1980s, bands such as Fishbone, the Mighty Mighty Bystones, and Operation Ivy pioneered this subgenre of punk ska, which typically involves faster tempos and guitar distortion. Ska and punk ska continued in its popularity into the 1990s, with notable bands such as Skankin' Pickle, Dancehall Crashers, Goldfinger, and many others. Towards the end of the 1990s, ska's popularity in the mainstream diminished and went more underground. However, there are currently still several popular ska bands in the mainstream. In 2017, Captain Ska, band's Captain Ska, reached number 4 on the UK singles charts. And in 2018, The Interrupters made it into the US top charts. Some call 2019 the start of quote-unquote fourth wave ska, when The Interrupters became the first American female-fronted ska band to have a radio hit. Since No Doubt, No Doubt was an American female-fronted rock band that had some ska songs and made some hits into the U.S. radio waves. In 2021, the Mighty Mighty Boston's released their song The Final Parade, an 8-minute, and as Mighty Mighty Boston's frontman Dickie Bray put it, he said, described it as, "It's a love letter to ska music and the people that make ska music." The song includes guest appearances by more than 20 well-known names in the ska scene. The Interrupters frontwoman Amy Allen said it best in Pick It Up, which was a documentary film from 2019 about ska in the 1990s. She said, "Ska never went away. that just dips in and out of the mainstream. And there you have a history of ska music. Did you learn?
Yes, I learned a lot about ska there. That was impressive. I have to say that I knew very little, if any, of that.
It has a very interesting history, I think, and relatively recent, too.
Cool. All right. Well, that was all of your past today, so I have no more. Now, last week, this is kind of last week today or past today, I used the word bugfuggle.
Oh, yeah, you did.
and you said, you'll have to define that. And I thought, okay. I gave myself work. So, bugfuggle. It's as a verb, it's in the transitive state. And that is to lose your mind completely in a giddy fashion. Such as when a new giddy, as not kitty, but giddy, as like, crazy giddy. That kind of giddy. Gay with two D's. Like when a new movie comes out about a celebrity whom you are a huge fan. For example, Taban went completely bugfuggle over the new Weird Al Yankovic movie with Daniel Radcliffe playing Weird Al coming out on the Roku channel. As an adjective, you can use it to be extremely crazy over a thing. For example, barely went bugfuggle because the Telegram chat would not leave him alone.
They didn't. Why didn't they leave you alone?
I don't know. They just won't leave me alone. And that's what bugfuggle
is. Okay.
There
you go. Good to know.
Who knew that words could be made up on the fly or on the flea?
It better not be a big word or else he's not going to be able to fly around very well.
That's right. It spells disaster.
It spells disaster. And don't let it be the word shorter.
That's
my
right.
Cow.
So you know what? You know what, David? You know what does not? You know what helps prevent disasters in the restroom?
Well, I don't know. What, barely?
Well, I'm going to say that Brode electrolyte vitamins is going to help you from having a disaster
nice
in the
segue.
Bathroom.
Very nice.
Because
segue.
if you take a couple of Brode tablets with any beverage before any heavy activity or alcoholic binging or anything like that, you will not be hungover. You will totally have a great time, and there will not be a disaster in the bathroom later on or the next morning.
So if you want to play Scrabble, you'll have to wait till the next day.
That's right. Oh, I hope Mark doesn't listen to this. And then if listeners of our podcast go to, of course, you know, the eight listeners that actually go to brode.co, there's no M. They will get 25% off their entire order. And that's through the end of July, by the way. And it doesn't stop and it doesn't change. If you want to buy a bunch today and you want to buy a bunch tomorrow, each time you enter BFFT, that's code BFFT at checkout, and you will receive 25% off your entire order.
Yay. And please do that. You can actually do that. And through the end of July, as Barely said, and at BLFC, we will have some samples for you to try out.
We will have some samples.
That'll be great. Yeah.
They'll actually be in the swag bag if you come and see us.
And we'll have
you
swag
get a little
bags.
Swag bag of good stuff for you to have. Taban
and
stuff.
And it's not a religious bag that we're trying to give.
It's not a religious bag. So,
tell our listeners about that.
Okay, so last year at BLFC, we were handing out, this is the first year that we handed out these little swag bags of like Taban stuff and Barely stuff and podcast stuff. And I handed it to one furry and he hands it back and he says, I do not take religious things from people. And I was like, what? I said, you're coming up to hug Taban. This is a Taban bag. And he's like, I thought it was religious.
No, I mean, unless you go to the Church of Taban, sure, but.
Right. But I mean, how does a little baggie of stuff translate into religion?
I guess you're down in Reno.
I don't know.
If you're at a FurCon, what else are you going to get in a little bag? But religious offerings.
Religious stuff. That's right. You're sinners for dressing up in fur suits.
Doggies. So I was thinking about how, you know, there's no M. There's no M. So it's kind of like when Dorothy went to Oz, there was no anti-M. Okay.
It was an anti-M.
In fact, it was an anti-M, yes.
Oh, we are so far off the rails. I think we should probably try and get back on the rails.
On?
And I think we should get on the rails by having a chat with, we talked about FWA was a couple of weeks ago, and a good friend of our podcast, Connor, up in Canada, where they live the American dream, but without violence, up in Canada. So yes. I'm going to send him the link and he can come into the show and we will chat with him for a few minutes. All right. So Connor.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm here.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. So you went to FWA.
I did. I went last weekend. It was wonderful.
So tell us all about FWA. What's the best, what's the good parts and the bad parts?
Oh, quick snapshot. Good. Amazing to see everyone after so many years. It was a rough couple of years there over the pandemic, but we finally had a nice big convention to go to. There were, I think they said the final tally was like over 7,000 people went, over 2,000 more.
Holy cow, that's like double.
Oh, yeah, 2,000 more than 2019. So really busy year, which was really, really hats off to them. It was extremely well organized and no complaints. The only bad thing I'll say was you're always playing Elevator Con, but that's nothing new. So that was nothing for 2022. The elevators are always busy. But otherwise, no, it was fantastic.
I remember Furs talking like just on Twitter and on Telegram and something, and every Furb was saying like half the fandom's going to be at FWA this year.
Yeah, seriously. It felt like that. Like you literally saw everybody. Anybody you could have met over the course of the last couple of years on Twitter or whatever, so many of them were there, except for you guys.
It's true.
It's on the other side of our country, and it's a little difficult to get to sometimes.
Yeah, of course.
I actually haven't been to FWA yet. Everyone keeps saying, like, you gotta go to FWA, and I hear it's really great, but I just haven't made it yet.
It was nice. It was very nice. Atlanta was beautiful on the first day or two. It got a little rainy, a little gloomy on the weekend days, Saturday, Sunday, but that's okay. I'm an indoor dog, so that's all right.
Okay. Nice. Very good. So you kept your posies unmuddy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So was there anything not great about FWA?
Oh, my God. Okay, the worst possible thing happened to me. Are you ready?
Oh, we're ready.
Firehouse Subs was closed.
Oh, no.
Oh,
I hated it.
My
cow. I hated
cow.
It. Honestly. They had this wonderful food court. Oh, yeah.
Why were they closed?
I have absolutely no idea. There's a wonderful food court connected to the main hotel because it's a shopping mall, I believe. There was lots of great food places to go to, but Firehouse Subs closed the whole weekend, I think. Or I just missed it, and I'm eternally angry at that.
All right. So is that like a... like the FWA furry place to go?
Oh, I don't, probably not. I'm just trash.
Oh, okay, good. Sounds good.
So day by day, how long was the con? What was the, did it take long to register? Were there lots of events going on, parties, things like that?
No, so for registration wise, that was extremely well organized. We were able to get our badges and register like literally 30 seconds, and I never saw a massive lineup. It was so well done. It's because they opened it early. Like, we registered really early on. Like, I don't know if it was Wednesday night or Thursday night, but it was quick.
Huh. It was like BFL's. I can't even talk. BLFC for us last year, registration was just, for me, like the best registration experience I've ever had by far. So it sounds like it's comparable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was fantastic. And the dealer's den was nice and it was beautiful. They had water in case we all got thirsty.
Water.
They had lots of supplies. The den was great. I was in the den on Friday and on Sunday. I was at the artist Rukus. I was at their table helping out for those couple of days. So it was busy. It was extremely busy. I know a lot of artists did really well this con. A lot of people were hungry to get there, spend their money. So it was very successful, I know, for some of them, which was obviously very nice to hear.
Very cool. Very nice. Mm-hmm. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how high up the scale would you rate FWA?
Oh, 10 out of 10. It was one of my favorite cons I've been to. It might just be recency bias.
So you've been before.
Back. Oh, no, this is my first time at FWA, but I've been to AC a couple of times.
Wow. Okay. What are highlights for the things you did? Like, did you go to any really nice panels? Did you go to the dance comp? Did you roll around like the doggy you are? What were some highlights of things you actually did?
Okay, well, I took a page out of your book and I chased my tail a little bit. That was fun. That was really exciting.
Good.
I went to the game room, which was huge and air conditioned and wonderful, and we played the Taiko drum game, which is like a rhythm drum game, which was very fun. Very fun.
That seems fun. I have not heard of this. What do you do in the Taiko drum game?
It's like Japanese. It's a lot of music, obviously, and then you have to like beat the drum to like the music. It's like Rock Band, but like better.
Oh, no. So a Rock Band / Dance Dance Revolution type thing, but better. Okay, cool.
Exactly. But a big ass drum. It was very nice. But yeah.
And the dance comp. Did you go to the dance comp?
I didn't, but I saw highlights on Twitter and it looked really cool. I think that day, my partner and I, my boyfriend and I, we went to the aquarium because we're mundane and it was very cool.
Okay.
We saw otters.
You saw otters.
We saw otters. Okay, that was my highlight.
That's all you remember. You saw otters. Okay.
Yes.
You saw all kinds of otters, I imagine, like because at the con and the aquarium and
all equally adorable.
Did they have a Floor Wars this year?
I have no idea what that is.
Okay, good. So you did not go. If they did, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
What are other great big panels that typically exist at cons?
I didn't see a single panel this time. I know there's usually like writing panels or maybe like art panels or something. I don't know. I didn't see any of them.
Are you at cons? Are you typically one that goes to panels, or are you typically one that just kind of roams around and sees people and chase tail when you can?
Roaming around. I'm a roaming dog. I like to go sniff out.
Nice.
Sniff out my new friends.
Nice. Nice. Very nice. Good.
Very cool.
I've wondered, is that the place, the hotel and convention center that FWA is at, is it at a really big place or is it medium? Or like, how's it compared to some other cons you've been to?
Oh, okay. Well, I'll tell you, this hotel was massive and very tall, and this dog does not like heights, so that was not fun being up 25
this
to 40 floors. Oh, it was that was terrible. I had to crawl. I had to get all fours and I had to crawl around on those higher floors because I am terrified of heights.
This pup, we are in the same kennel, let me tell you.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah, so it's a beautiful hotel, but it's very tall.
Okay. It's very tall. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Connor, thanks for popping onto the show. I know you've been a longtime listener and we've chatted back and forth a lot over the last couple of years. Thank you for letting us in on the experiences of FWA.
Thank you, Barely. Thank you, Taven.
Thank you. And have a wonderful rest of your evening. Bark, bark.
Woof.
Okay. Well, FWA, that was kind of cool. I have to say, I'd like to get there someday.
Someday
we will get there.
Someday.
But that's an airplane flight, and for us,
that's a ways away.
That's a ways away. Yeah,
that would be the reason I haven't been there yet.
You know what? I'll go next year, and I'll bring a big cutout of Taben, just a big cardboard cutout of Taben, and just to take pictures of you with us everywhere. It's like, that'd be kind of fun.
Just here, hug this cardboard thing,
Yes, it's like, all right. Okay, so let me get to my section of That's Just Stupid, my take on stupid news.
Are you stupid or something?
Stupid is what stupid does, sir.
Starting right off the bat, the litter box conspiracy. Can
what?
We just let this... It's up again. Yes, it happened again. I didn't even put it in the furries of the news because it is just in the That's Just Stupid phase at this point. It's like, can we let this go already? How many times does it have to come up? The latest is an article in the Ogemaw County Herald from Michigan. And for the record, kids are not using litter boxes in school. Period. End of story. I mean, most of them can't hit the urinals or toilets as it is. How are they supposed to hit a small litter box? I mean, seriously, come on. You know what? You know what the problem with parasitic worms is, Taben? The problem with parasitic worms is that they are into gender bias, and there are claims of their names being gender sexist. Can you imagine that? Scientists suggest sexism, nepotism, and cronyism is rife when it comes to naming new species of blood-sucking parasitic creatures. They are named after men more than 80% of the time, which is okay because I think most men are parasitic worms anyway, aren't they? And they, you know what? These same scientists are worried about naming parasitic worms. This is the Parasitic Worms Association, by the way. It's an actual group of scientists, yes, that specialize in parasitic worms.
Okay.
And they're really concerned about naming these worms after celebrities, because what if the celebrity falls from grace? You know, it's like Bill Cosbyus, you know, the parasitic worm Bill Cosbyus. It gives little tiny drugs to the other parasitic worms.
And pudding.
Yes, and pudding pops. J-E-L-O-O. And remember, how about just going back and letting them do their Latin names? I don't know. Okay. You know the band Metallica? Well, Metallica, there was a baby born at one of their latest concerts, believe it or not. She was 39 weeks pregnant in Brazil. Metallica started playing Enter the Sandman, and she went into labor right there on the floor of the place, gave birth to a baby.
She went 39 weeks? I mean, isn't that prime time to
have a baby? Yes, and she's... But the problem is, she bought the tickets like 3 years prior to the concert, and she did have no intention of being... I mean, you know, if she was pregnant for 3 years, that's a long gestation. But, you know. Anyway, so the band shared the news on Instagram, and of course, thank the Lord, she did not name them the child after one of the members. She named the child Juan. Remember, if you've seen Juan, you've seen Jamal. Anyway, so in Florida, it seems that it is raining iguanas. Now, you might ask yourself, why would iguanas be raining from the skies? Well, you know what happens? When the temperature drops below 40 degrees, iguanas go into a state of hibernation almost instantaneously. And if they're in the trees or on your house roof or something, drops down below 40, boom, you got frozen iguana rolling down the roof or falling out of the tree on top of everybody. So, but you know, if you bring them in the house and warm them up, they will scurry right along. As soon as they get to like 42 degrees, boom, a live iguana running amok.
Okay.
And because this is news of the stupid, finally, Mitch McConnell. Well, because somebody has to hold the title of stupidest person on the planet. And that is my stupid news. Or that's just stupid, because the saying goes,
stupid is as stupid does.
And I'll have more for that next week.
Okay. So I have some follow-ups, actually.
Oh, do you have follow-ups on that? Do you have questions?
No,
I don't know the answers.
Actually.
Oh, everybody has questions.
Okay.
Many
one
questions.
Is,
yes.
I actually had to write these down because I had the worms' names. What male names are worms? I don't know anything about parasitic worms, but like what names
I
are
I have
out
to
there?
Say, I. The article said nothing about the different names other than the fact that they were sexist and misogynist. And as the fact of the matter is, quite frankly, it doesn't matter. Most women, if they were named after a parasitic worm, they would complain about being named after a parasitic worm. I apologize to all the women out there that have listened. I did not mean that in any way to be insulting. My apologies. Mea culpa, mea culpa, mea culpa.
And Jamal, too.
And Jamal, too. When you've seen Juan, you've seen Jamal. If any bird knows the joke to that punchline, write in and tell us.
If they've been long-time listeners, they might, because I know we've told that maybe way back in season one. So they would
way back in season one, I'm sure, yes.
Yeah, so they'll
before we realize that we are not politically correct.
Right, before that happened. And so I guess that's for the past day. For next week, let's find some worms' names.
Oh, parasitic worm names. All right, I'll write that down.
Sounds great.
Well,
yeah, that's...
That'll
be fun.
Sound like
That'll
Lucille Ball. Ooh.
So then, okay, my next question then is, or not next question, really, it's reminded me. So when you're talking about the iguanas, raining iguanas. I remember, actually, it does also somewhere, I forget where, but it rains fish. It literally does. Oh,
I thought you were going to say it's raining men.
It's raining. Hallelujah. But, you know, it's also raining fish. I'm a fish. I don't know how that would even go, but it actually somewhere does rain fish because something about like the climate and the winds and everything, it makes a sudden hurricane tornado thing on the sea. And then it like makes the fishies all, like that. They all go up and they rain
they
over the
up into
town.
The tornado and then fall on. Yes. Yeah. I've heard about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So it actually, this is a thing, like animals rain from the sky.
They do.
And my third thing is, And this is going to show how ignorant I am. So Mitch McConnell.
Yes.
Just tell me words.
Oh, Mitch McConnell is the Senate minority leader. He's a Republican. When the Republicans were in power and they had more than 50%, he was the majority leader. And he is an old career senator from down south, like Kentucky or somewhere like that.
So he's been all around and he's from down those parts.
He's down them there parts there, yeah, somewhere. And he's just a moron.
Stupid is stupid does, sir.
That's good. Just, that's a good summary. Sums it up.
There you go. That sums it up. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that was quite a big journey we went on with.
It was quite the
conversation.
Conversations and politics and Washington, D.C.
Fishies and men and.
And mayonnaise. Mayonnaise. Why did I say mayonnaise?
I don't know.
I have no idea. Burma. Why did you say Burma? I don't know. A penguin.
So there's a penguin on the tele.
That's right. That's just saying. Burma. Why did you say Burma? I don't know. I panicked. Anyway.
Yes. Oh, wait, that is from that sketch, isn't it?
That is, yes.
Oh, I did get it right. Wow.
Same sketch.
I'm proud of myself.
The penguin on the tele sketch, yes. Do you have a hometown story?
I do. It's quick little hometown story.
Okay.
And it's only hometown because I went back home recently and hung out with an old friend of mine. So it's only loosely a hometown story, but I didn't know where else to tell this story.
Okay. You don't know where else to tell this story? Is that what you just said?
I don't know where else to tell this story, so I'm going to tell it here.
You have a national, international podcast and you didn't know where to tell this story.
Uh-huh.
This would be it. Okay. Well, it's like...
Well, I mean, Jamal said, I don't know.
Right. Yes.
I got so exhausted, the disaster, I could not spell. So I love the flashbacks.
We are so far off the rails. We are so far off the rails. Wow.
But I love all the flashbacks within the same episode.
I know, right? It's like the same. Let's pull some wallaby socks in, shall we?
Well, wallaby socks. Left shark. Okay. Oh, my.
If you will.
Okay, so I've got to say, we didn't have a challenge for furs today, but I think
we did not have
a challenge for furs. If you got the things that you just said, any of it, write in and let us know that you got it.
Mm-hmm.
You deserve so many hugs if you got any of those references right there. Anyway, I was hanging out with my friend a little bit ago at my hometown.
Uh-huh.
It's got to be my hometown now. If it's not my hometown, I am lying because that's not the right part of the show.
No, we're still in that part of the show, yes.
And I was hanging out with my friend and his dad, and we were just hanging out. And my friend's dad said, "Those clothes you're wearing, they look pretty gay." And my friend was like, "Well, they came out of the closet this morning." Let's move on to... Oh, no, I have a few. Okay, so moving on past my hometown.
Yes.
So this goes into, I guess the new... It's got to fit into a particular section of the pod. So now this fits into the news and science facts section. I've got a few
news
things here.
News and science faction. Okay. Science faction?
Okay. Science faction. David Hasselhoff was a scientist. No, David Hasselhoff.
Yes.
I found out recently he started referring to himself as just Hoff because it's less of a hassle.
Wow. Why is that funny? It's not funny. It's not funny at all.
So sciencey things, technology. It turns out the phones we have these days actually do not work. And here's proof. So my honey, he was working on his phone. He was hitting, and he was trying to do his thing and go back to his home screen. And he kept hitting the home button, many, many times. And he said that this isn't right. I hit the home button so many times, but I'm still at work. Stupid! But speaking of my honey. He is actually a really, really, really good cook.
Okay.
But not all spouses are really good cooks. And some of them need quiet peace and quiet to like do their cooking and everything. So my friend, for example, my friend asked his husband for some peace and quiet because he was trying to cook dinner, right? And so his husband just took the battery out of the smoke detector. And there's my news and science for the week.
Okay, news and science. All right. Well, let's go on to media. Shall we go on to media?
Please. Oh, my cow. Please. Oh,
please, let's go on to media. So you might recall, I'll talk about mine first. You might recall a couple of episodes ago, maybe even in the prior season, I talked about watching Thelma and Louise.
Yes,
and I watched the first half. Okay.
Did you
finish the second half?
Oh, good for you. Wow.
Yeah. Well, I have to say, while this is a classic movie, I really think the premise was poorly executed. Now, I am giving you a movie review for a 1980s movie, right? It's like, okay, so.
Better late than ever.
I know, but I mean, I think the premise was poorly executed. I mean, seriously? These two women, they simply could have called the police, but then there would be no juxtaposition
movie.
Because
there wouldn't be a movie.
There would be no movie. It's like this guy tried to rape me. I accidentally shot him. Movie over. Roll credits. Yeah, you're half an hour in.
Oscars.
Thank you.
And everything.
Yikes. Oscars. Oscars. Woohoo. All right. So, but I'm
don't
sure
be grouchy.
That,
I couldn't.
Wow. Oh, I don't know what happened there.
What were you talking about? Sorry. I don't know.
There's a long section there. I got to turn off. But anyway, so I know there'll be a few furs out there that disagree with me, but that's okay. I watched a few more episodes of the latest season of Crossing Swords. I think we've talked about that before. It's a stop action type of thing on Hulu. I did watch the first episode of Strange New Worlds, which is this new Star Trek series on Paramount that takes place after the Discovery series, but before the original series of Star Trek.
Wow. If you're just diving in, like, who was it? There's some fur that, like, just started, like, Star Trek and stuff. And if you're just starting it, it's like, where do you even, I mean, we know where to tell first. But if you don't have any fur to tell you where to start, it's like, holy cow, what's going on? And you're probably not going to, you can't start at the beginning, like the newer See
you can't.
The newer shows that go back to the beginning. You can't start there. You cannot, and they wouldn't know that. It's crazy,
right? So it's crazy. But you know, the funny thing is, this is the voyages of the Starship Enterprise with Captain Pike.
Oh, that was before Kirk, right?
Before Kirk, right?
Yeah.
So the interesting thing about this show here's really, and this is like in the behind the scenes, but the Captain Pike series of Star Trek was the original pilot for the series.
Oh, really?
And did not play well with the audiences. And so that's why they upped it and did the whole Captain Kirk thing and upped the whole thing. So technically, this is the longest period of time between the premise and of a pilot and the actual show, because now Paramount is making the actual show 50 years later.
Oh, that's a world record right there.
A world record there between, you know, between pilot and actually executing the show. So, you know, and, you know, it, and oh, I have to say a big woof to the new Spock.
Oh.
You get to see him without his shirt multiple times. And he's quite ripped, I must say.
Okay.
He's not Nimoy, but woof, he's, woof. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I'd have to check this out then. We'll see. Yeah.
And they're also paying homage to a lot of canon in the show. For example, one of the starships they refer to is the USS Archer, which would be a throwback to the original series of Captain Archer with the very first Enterprise.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They have a shuttle named Stamets, which is, of course, the chief science officer on the USS Discovery. And now that I think about it, they try to erase everything to do with Discovery because they went way into the future, but to name it. Wow. That was a bad idea on their part. They shouldn't have done that. Anyway.
Barely figure something out. You heard it here.
I know.
First.
Right. Live right here. Okay. And Because, you know, I'm that kind of a guy, I rewatched the Monty Python's Meaning of Life movie.
Well, tonight, we're going to sort it all out. For tonight, it's the meaning of life.
Oh, nice, nice.
Yes.
How is it on your a millionth and fifth time around?
The same, and the wonderfulness is the last time. Every time. Every time.
Every time.
And I have to say, I started the new Mike Myers Keegan-Michael Key sitcom on Netflix. It's called The Pentaverate.
Yeah, Pentaverate.
The Pentaverate, yes. If you turn on Netflix right now, it's like being featured. Watch this show.
Oh, so and it's like a thing.
Yeah, yes. It's a comedy based on a secret cabal society running the country. And I think Mike Myers is past his prime.
Okay.
He's doing a lot here in this series. He's playing like 12 characters all at the same time.
Oh my lord.
Yeah.
He should have stopped with 3 in Austin Powers, I think.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many characters that he's playing, but the comedy's all the same. It's nothing new.
Oh, yeah.
So, Mike,
is it like Austin Powers comedy or what kind of?
That kind of comedy, yeah, along the same line, it's over and over. But it's just over and over and over again. And I actually stole one of his comedic lines when I talked about Connor earlier today. Said he's from Canada, where they're living the American dream without violence. That was actually a t-shirt on the Mike Myers show, Pentaverate. Anyway, that's what I've been watching. What about you?
So first, before I talk about what I've been watching, so I saw this old ad. This is a true thing.
Because our listeners can't tell anymore whether we're telling the truth or telling stories. So
this is actually a true thing that I have this calendar that it must be from the, I don't know, whenever electricity started like being a thing, whatever that was. But so there's this ad for electricity and the ad went,
not a history pup.
No, I'm not a history pup at all.
Nope, not a history puppet.
There's not that, obviously. So, like last week when electricity was invented, way back when vacuum cleaners and things were starting to like be a thing to help around the house and everything, there was this actual ad for electricity, and it said, "Don't kill your wife with work. Let electricity do it." Okay. I thought that was awesome. Anyway,
okay.
So there's one thing. And question for you, Barely. Have you seen Meet the Feebles?
Meet the Feebles? I have not seen Meet the Feebles.
Oh. Okay. So you know Peter Jackson?
No.
Oh, wow. Oh, my cow. So this is actually not something I saw Meet the Feebles. So this is actually not a current media, but I'm putting it in media because it is media. So Peter Jackson is the director of Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
So he's like really good at things and stuff.
Okay.
And he directed some other really, like, I think he good directed King and Kong stuff. And good things and stuff.
Right.
So he's been, you know, really, but he had to start somewhere.
Obviously.
And one of his original things I don't know if he created and or produced, but he at least produced it, is a show called Meet the Feebles. And it is very disturbing. So when you get a chance, I don't even remember much about it, but I remember it's a little disturbing. So
Is it available on Netflix?
Probably. I don't know. Or you could probably YouTube it or something. I mean, it's an old, it's like from the 60s or 70s or something. I don't know.
Do feebles wibble, but they don't wall down? Or no, weebles wobble.
Weebles, but they don't wobble. Weeble wobble.
Weeble wobble wobbles, but they don't fall down. That was it. But this is the feebles, not the weebles. Anyway, moving right along. Yes.
So now to what I've actually been watching. You know, I've been talking about how I've been rewatching season 2 of Beastars for Lunchies. And so I finished that. So good. And actually, there are like, okay, I'll just stop there. I'll just say that.
Easy pup. Easy pup.
Oh. The amount of wag is... Okay, yes, I stopped there. And then I started... So, a while ago, you talked about how you watched Q-Force.
Yes, I did.
You did. And I, did. I've been reading, you know, it's been in the back of my mind to watch that, but, you know, I've had other things and stuff. So I finished Beastars, and I figured, well, I'm probably behind on South Park because it's been a few weeks, and I imagine there's more South. There was a new South Park episode. What am I going to watch? So I started with Q-Force. It is what it is. I've seen two episodes, and it's not bad. It's not the best, but it's enough to make me want to watch another episode or two. So we'll see.
It's got a few giggles in it.
It does have a few giggles. It's entertaining. It is. I don't hate it. Definitely do not hate it.
Okay. Well, that's good. Yes.
That's good. That's good. I'll keep watching. We'll see how it goes. There's good. Only 10 episodes in. There's only one season. So I'll probably watch the whole season and that'll be that. Did I talk last week about Crashing?
Crashing? I don't recall that. No.
I don't think I did.
You don't.
So there's a show on Netflix called Crashing.
Okay.
It's called Crashing. And it was like a 96%, you know, match rate, which is like, oh, it's got to be great.
Right.
It's, I mean, there's a reason it's only one season with 6 episodes.
Okay. Okay. Well, there you go. Yeah,
and then even like the end of episode 6, like me and my hubby are watching it. And like we get to see episode 3 and like, well, okay, we're halfway through. It's not the best, but. Okay, we'll get through more episodes. We weren't excited about watching through more episodes, but we're the type that like we got to finish it.
Right.
So we get, and you know, the last episode of season 1 ends on a quote unquote cliffhanger, if you will. Okay. And there's no more seasons. It's
right. Yeah, they're done. It's done. Yeah.
So we watched that, and Grace and Frankie has new episodes out.
They do, yes.
They do, and so we watch more of that. That's a little bit of a debacle because, like, I guess they had put out... Oh, yeah, I remember we talked about this before. Mm-hmm. Season 7, whatever it is. They had put out, like, 4 episodes of the last season.
Right.
I remember before we talked about it, we watched those 4 episodes, and they're like, that can't be the end. What? That is no way there's the end. And then we found out, oh, wait, they're only releasing like a few at a time. They're going to release more in April or whatever.
Right, right.
So we started, and we forgot all about that, by the way, I should say, before Honey said, oh, there's new Grace and Frankie. We can watch that now. And so we start watching the next episode that, you know, that comes on. We figure it's the first episode. We don't know. It's whatever. So we're watching it. And we're like, we're not sure what's happening. Maybe we should go back to the beginning. I don't think we've seen any of this or not. Netflix is saying we've seen some of it. I don't think so because we haven't seen it.
Their algorithm is effed up, yes.
Yeah, so we go back to episode 1 of this season and we get done and we're like, we've totally seen it. So then we see episode 2 and like, we have so seen. And then we see episode 3. We have seen all this. And then we remember, oh, yeah, that's why. And so then halfway through rewatching episode 4, we're like, okay, let's start episode 5 now.
Okay.
So now we're actually caught up to where we actually should be.
Nice. All right. Cool.
And then we tried watching the next episode of Young Sheldon. It wasn't available.
Oh no.
And it's not there's more. There's got to be more. So I know that was kind of scary. We watched this movie called Run All Night. It's a 2015 movie. Have you seen this movie called Run All Night?
Never even heard of it.
Neither had I.
Okay.
But
well, how was it?
It actually was really good. One of those movies that start like really slow, but then like halfway through, it starts just getting action packed and it turns out really good. Actually, it stars Liam Neeson and Ed Harris. Do you know these people?
I do know these people. Yes.
Yes. I don't know them by name, but they're those people you see and like, oh yeah, I've seen them. They've been around forever. They have so many.
Oh, yeah.
They've been in so many things. So it starts them and it's actually a pretty good show. Let me read you the premise. Mobster and hitman Jimmy Conlone has one night to figure out where his loyalties lie. With his estranged son, Mike, whose life is in danger, or his longtime best friend, mob boss Sean McGuire, who wants Mike to pay for the death of his own son. Dun, dun, dun!
That's such intrigue.
It is. It's actually kind of, it's an original kind of plot too. So anyway, I recommend it. Check that out. And the other thing we watched, have you heard of Still Game? Not Squid Game, but Still Game.
No, have not.
This is a BBC thing. It's actually Scottish based, and it's BBC, and it's got 9 seasons. And I forget what percent matches said it had for us, but it's got 9 seasons over the span of 2002 to 2019. So it's like, okay, it's got to be like this really great show. And so, you know, and episodes are only 30 minutes long. So we watched the first episode the other day, and holy cow, it was so bad. It's
like, but there's how many seasons of this bad show?
9.
Oh,
nine.
Wow.
There's 9 seasons.
Is it bad in that it's so bad that it's good?
No, it's not. Oh. Like I know you've talked about this. No, it's not. It's just, okay. I don't even know what it's about.
Okay.
And part of the reason might be because we only understand every fourth word because it's in like this thick Scottish.
Okay.
And I found out today, apparently, like they're crass and potty mouths and stuff. I did not even realize that. It's like, what? And it's nice. So bad. Right. I could. And so we're like, you know, we feel like we got to finish things up, but we're like, I don't know if we want to watch anymore, but it's got 9 seasons.
9 seasons. So you got to go for all 9.
We watched episode 2.
Uh-huh. I can't wait.
So bad.
It's so like, bad.
And you it's got to be this laugh track. Because, you know, it's a BBC thing. So they've got like all these people laughing in the background. Like it's a live studio audience. There's no way that this is a live studio audience.
No,
like
that
woman in the background laughing her head off hysterically telling she has her first child. It's like, no, it's just.
No.
It's a laugh track. There's no way anyway. It has a few good lines every now and then.
Okay.
Like today, this one of the main guys is like showing off his new apartment or something, and his welcome mat is spelled WECLOME. Oh, whoa! Yeah. And then they're sitting at a bar or something, and I have no idea what they're talking about. But at one point, he says that his son couldn't take an early flight because a queer lot touched him up.
Okay.
Those are the best parts of the show so far.
Those are the best parts of the show. All right. Well, there you go.
But I am actually really interested for you to watch, after this raving, amazing review, for you barely to watch the first episode and let me know what you think.
Maybe
it's one of those things where we just don't connect on that. So maybe it'll be like this great thing and you'll understand it. And if you do, please explain what's going on to me.
I will give it a shot. I will give it a shot. That's the best I can do. All right.
You know, and I said those episodes are 30 minutes long. So, and we watched it while we're eating lunch and everything. And we got done with the episode today. And I turned to him and said, you know, honey, it says these episodes are 30 minutes long, but I do not believe that because it seemed, and he was nodding his head as I said it, this sure seemed like an hour and a half or something. And it's like just...
That's so bad.
Totally an hour and a half of my life. I'll never get back to it. No, it was only half hour long.
Okay. Well, I will have to look that up and watch those, I guess.
After that great review. So that's that.
That's that.
That's what I've been watching. And so I'm going to put this in media.
Uh-huh.
I was thinking we need to really fire up this show. And you know how we're going to do that?
How?
Controversy. So here's some controversy right now.
Okay.
We're just going to get into it.
There we go.
So
controversy.
I want us to tell me a show that you either a show you really really like and I really really hate, or vice versa, and we'll be controversy about it.
I don't know that there would. You tell me your show first, and I'll see which one contrasts to that.
I love Lord of the Rings.
Star Wars.
I like Star Wars.
Oh, I've Eat, Pray, Love.
I don't know that show.
Okay.
Oh, I got one. Heartstopper.
Okay, Heartstopper.
Yeah, because I loved it, and you just couldn't get through. Oh, look at this controversy. Oh, this is crazy. Is Barely and Taven ever going to speak again after this horrible carnal rage that's going on? Well, I'm speaking right now, so we can't. So Barely, say something to me like, hi.
Hi.
Okay, we're speaking again. Wow, that was
okay. Wow,
look what happened. We are a politically charged, controversial show. Wow. Now we made it through.
Oh, well, we made up. We
we're
disagreed.
Okay now. We're I know okay. all you furs were worried, but we did it.
I have no idea what's going on. I think I've lost either. Total control of this show. I think I have lost total control of the show.
Of the
There's
show.
No control.
Hi.
There is no show.
Okay.
There is no I'm spoon.
All right. There is no spoon.
There is no spoon, which is Let's leads us on. Up to yes. obscure movie quotes, because Ooh. That's an obscure movie quote. Do you know what it's from?
Oh, no, I do not.
Oh, well, okay. Well, I'm going to drop that clip in there and you can try and guess at it next week. All right.
Okay.
So obscure movie quotes. So first of all, Ziggy got all three correct from episode number 2.
Ooh, yay,
so
Ziggy.
The first one was, if the Pirates of the Caribbean breaks down, the pirates don't eat the tourists. And that was from Jurassic Park.
Hmm.
The very first one. The second thing that he said was, that's my LeBaron, which is from a movie called Freddy Got Fingered.
Which I have actually seen. Believe it or not.
Well, so there you go. That's right. It's what's his name? Green, something green. Somebody.
Oh, yeah. Know. Jeff. No, not Jeff Green. Green.
Yeah, whatever. That green guy. And then the other one was, dude, you kissed your sister. That was from Euro Trip. I don't know if you've ever seen that
Not
movie,
my trip, but, yeah. but Euro Trip.
Euro Trip. All right. So this week's clips are, and I'm going to let you say them.
Oh my. Well,
oh, yeah. I'm going to give you the microphone. There you
this
go.
This is a special week. Yeah. So the first obscure movie clip, see if any furs out there know, is maybe he's calling from Blanket Heaven. He's a white, fluffy little angel with a knob nose. So there's the first one.
There's the
first
one.
The second one is, I am afraid of this mortal body, more afraid than I was of the Red Bull. I'm going to be really impressed if any furs get these. And a third one is, it's just a wafer thin. And there it is.
And there you go. There you go.
Furs, write us in. Let us know if you know those movies.
All right, Mr. Tabin. It's time for that section that everybody waits for. They wait for it with bated breath. It's time for
falling from
furries
the sky.
In the news. No, furries in the news, not furries. Fishies from the sky.
Not fishies. Fishies from the sky. No, instead no, it is. It's Yo, Kiro, Chimichanga, furries, Taco Grande, Chili Colorado, furries are in me. I just want to have a furries in a tostada. Why do I want to have a furry in a tostada? That's not very
furries
nice.
Furries in a tostada.
I don't even know what's going on, but I know that there are furries in the... Okay, there we go.
Yes, they are. There are furries in the news. And we're going to start off with basically a television show. It's part of the Michigan, or not Michigan, I forget where, but it's like a little OPB or public broadcasting, PBS, public broadcasting service. And this whole thing. Yes, I did it. Hooray. It's an introduction to the furry fandom. They meet with several people in this worldwide community as they share some information about the furry fandom. They show their adorable custom life-size animal costumes called fursuits.
Quote, unquote. And I love how in this article it says, quote, unquote, fursuits.
Fursuits. It's like, share some of their own personal stories and history of the fandom and hoping to educate people on who some of the people you might see in the fandom. It's a cute little story. Yes. It's about 3 or 4 minutes on YouTube.
Oh,
so I'll drop the link in the spot and people can go check it out. And the Starbucks controversy. Dun, dun, dun.
There is so much controversy in this show.
So much. So, of course, Starbucks does not want their baristas and whatnot to unionize.
I thought you were going to say their burritos.
Starbucks burritos.
Don't unionize.
Not the best Mexican food, but you know, if you need one, they're there. Anyway, Starbucks. Wow, you just got me so off the rails on that one. So
sorry.
All right. So Starbucks doesn't like their baristas, not the burritos, but the baristas not to unionize. I'm going to go over to his house and slap him, ladies and furs. That's all there is to it. So,
oh my.
Oh, wow. Where the heck were we? Oh, yeah. The fired guy from Starbucks. Anyway, he has made headlines all over the country because he got fired for trying to organize a union at his Starbucks. And so he was invited to Seattle and he wore his fursuit at the union rally.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And very nice, very so nice. He's very, very politically active, if you
nice
were,
big,
if
fluffy
was.
Wolfie.
Yes, yes. We've invited him to be on the show and he has agreed. So stay nice. Tuned, ladies and furs, for future episodes. You will get to hear. I know his normie name, but I'm not going to say it on this podcast because I don't know if he wants to.
Apollo.
He's in the mainstream media.
Apollo,
so I guess he's
Arctic Wolf is
that's
who
him.
He is.
Yes, that's who he is. All right. And that is all I have for furries in the news. Do you have anything?
No.
Okay. Well, let's then hear from our new movie reviewer, Chitaro, who's going to tell us a little bit about Robin Hood. You remember that movie from the 70s? From Disney.
In fact,
yes,
the Robin Hood, the Disney Robin Hood,
mm-hmm.
might be something that got this pup into being a pup in the beginning after all. So
I believe that was when we've interviewed very, very many furs. They say that was the very first movie that talked to them about being in their soul, about being a furry. Mm-hmm. So Chitaro, tell us all about Robin Hood. Welcome to the BFFT family, by the way. You're going to be part of our family now and doing our movie reviews, I understand.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited about that. I enjoy watching movies, so I hope this helps a lot of people.
Awesome. All right, so what are you going to review for us today?
Well, today I am reviewing Disney's Robin Hood. It was from 1973. I thought it was a pretty good movie. The synopsis is, nobody understands about Robin Hood. The synopsis is basically that Robin Hood is an outlaw that robs from the rich and gives to the poor. And he ends up going to an archery tournament and the king is gone, but his brother is there. And anyway, I think I'm going on too much. But anyway, he ends up getting in trouble and having some interesting sword play, and he this happens twice to him basically. So he's kind of an outlaw basically.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now the interesting part that I thought about this movie was one scene specifically at the end, where Robin Hood is breaking into a jail to free Friar Tuck, and again, characters. Names from the story. He basically breaks into there, frees him. He also breaks into a treasury room and he steals all the money. But the part of this whole thing that I thought was hilarious was that they had a whole mess of different characters. And I guess I should have said in the beginning that this is a very anthropomorphized movie, because all of the characters are different animals, and one of the sets of animals that is helping to steal this money, or I should say many of the animals that are set to steal this money, are raccoons. And so I thought that was hilariously funny. There's also a couple of vultures in there that provide comedy relief, basically, and there's a lot of good one-liners. For example, there was a scene where Prince John is talking to his assistant, who happens to be a snake, and his name is Hiss, and the prince or king says, "You got to be careful, or I'm going to make you walk." And then Hiss says, "Snakes don't walk; they slither." So some of those lines are pretty awesome, to be honest. I haven't seen this movie for a while, so a few of the scenes that were in it were very surprising. But Robin Hood as a fox is awesome. And of course, the king was a lion, and, you know, and most of the parts of the movie where there were fighting and things like that, so the people fighting, were either extremely large animals like rhinoceroses and elephants, or they were all carnivores, because the rest of the town that didn't do very much, they were like herbivore creatures, which was kind of hilarious, to be honest, that they did that. One other thing that I did notice is if anybody out there is going to watch this movie today, you have to remember that this was done in 1973. So, unfortunately, there is a lot of sexism in this movie.
No.
Just a small amount.
just a smidge, yeah.
Yeah, and the other thing that I noticed is that there are a lot of things, if you pay attention to the time frame of when Robin Hood was written, it was supposed to be around, like, the 11th or 12th century. Well, there's a lot of anachronisms because, you know, they have things like balloons, and they have certain money, they sing happy birthday, and all those things happen totally after that. So as long as you don't pay attention to those things and maybe a couple of other little tiny goofs in the movie, it's an excellent movie. Now, I'm going to say that I've created my scale of how to do things, and because I'm a cheetah, I'm going to chirp. So,
all right.
So out of 5 chirps, which would be the best, and 1 chirp being like, oh my goodness, that's bad, I give this totally 4 chirps. Because...
4 chirps.
4 chirps, because it's an excellent movie for not having to think and just getting a lot of good laughs. And there's even a couple of sad scenes in there, but... You know, that's the way all movies are. Sad scenes, happy scenes. But definitely 4 chirps.
Okay, well, thanks to Chitaro giving Robin Hood, the 1973 Disney version, 4 chirps. Okay, now, upcoming events. It was nice. Upcoming events. I want to try and run through these. With a burrito. So, coming up this weekend, actually, when this episode drops, this weekend is the FurCon New Zealand, May 20th and 23rd in Okotoki, New Zealand. Now, the next weekend, the 26th through the 31st, basically.
You're going to say it.
Yes.
I love it
when you
say
it. All of these cons are taking place this same weekend.
Oh, yeah.
You have the Mephit Mini Con 2022 in... Jürgen Fergen, Fragen, 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 Germany. Then you have Burrito Burrito. Then you have Anthro, Ohio at the Crown Plaza. Crown Plaza, why do they have it twice? I have no idea. It's a place so nice, they named it twice. In Columbus, Ohio. Furlandia.
Am I reading
is taking
double?
Place. That's right. Furlandia is taking place at the Sheraton Public. Not
it
the
is
public.
A public hotel, actually.
It is a public hotel. Sheraton Portland Airport Hotel. My voice is going away. I don't know why. Confuzzled is happening in Birmingham, UK.
Yes, Verizon. I'm okay. Thanks for asking.
Are you okay? Yes. And Verizon 2022 is taking place that same weekend at the Park Hotel in Cavalassi, Italy.
What's really interesting about that hotel is like you have to go all the way across the city if you want to. There's no parking.
Really? Is that
it's
true?
The Park Hotel, but you can't, it's not true.
Oh,
never mind. Just
gotcha.
Forget.
Oh, and then the
I was trying to
weekend,
make a thing, and it just didn't work.
It's like, really? Did you like look it up on the website? That there's no parking? Wow, that would be terrible for furries. Anyway, so BLFC is taking place June 2nd through the 5th in Nevada at the Grand Sierra Resort and Casino. Stratosphere takes place the following weekend in Houston, Texas, and CastleCon takes place the following weekend after that in Freizelbach Camping Schüttenhof Harb an Neckar, Germany.
Really good. That's awesome.
You
that's
like
awesome.
That? That was
I
pretty
love
good.
That. I love that.
Yeah. All right. And those were the upcoming events. Tabin, do you have a story?
I have a short story.
A short story.
In my posse right here, I have a short story.
Well, tell
this
us.
This story is called The Very Hungry Caterpillar. By Eric Clark.
Well, let's hear it.
In the light of the moon, a little egg lay on a leaf. One Sunday morning, the warm sun came up, and pop! Out of the egg came a tiny and very hungry caterpillar. Pop! He started to look for some food. On Monday, he ate through one apple, but he was still very hungry. On Tuesday, he ate through two pears, but he was still very hungry. On Wednesday, he ate through three plums, but he was still very hungry. On Thursday, he ate through four strawberries, but he was still hungry. On Friday, he ate through five oranges, but he was still hungry. The next day was Sunday again. The caterpillar ate through one nice green leaf, and after that, he felt much better. Now he wasn't very hungry anymore, and he wasn't a little kit caterpillar anymore. He was a big, fat caterpillar. He built a small house called a cocoon, we're learning, around himself. He stayed inside for more than 2 weeks. Then he nibbled a hole in the cocoon, pushed his way out. He was a beautiful butterfly. The end.
Okay, then. Well, a caterpillar became a butterfly. Who knew? As I had no clue that that happened,
but
actually.
It does have a picture of the butterfly. So you can see picture. If you watch the YouTube of this version of the show, you can see the butterfly, the YouTube channel. Woo!
Woo! Well, Taven.
Hi.
Before we end this show, I think we should end on some jokes because we haven't told enough jokes.
Show. There's a controversy and political intrigue.
That's right. Do you have your joke book?
I do.
And what is the title of this joke?
The
alleged
title,
joke book.
It is very alleged.
Very
it
alleged,
is the
yes.
The unborn child of the lie.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that was the name of the book. I thought it was something different. I thought it was something different.
That's actually just the subtitle. It's actually called Funny Jokes and Foxy Riddles. Subtitle, The Unborn Child of the Lie.
Okay.
And so for all you first that haven't heard of this before, I just read the next page in the joke, quote-unquote joke book, which I don't actually agree. They're really horrible. And I just read, I have not read these jokes in advance, and Barely's jokes on the other paw. Tell us about your jokes.
Well, I search them out and look for
them out.
Some jokes that I think are funny and cute.
And bad.
And
all
bad.
At the same time.
All at the same time.
It's a very IQ-ridden process.
It is. It is. And Taben, you know, I was looking at my herb garden the other day, and I wondered which herbs would be snitches. I guess only time will tell.
Bop. That's what I... You know what I don't say bop, but here's what I really say to that.
Yes. Okay.
I say that a man fell from a 10-story building.
Splat. Yes.
It turned out he actually did not get hurt. Do you know why he didn't get hurt?
Why did he not get hurt?
He was wearing a light fall suit.
What?
A light fall suit.
A light fall. Oh.
Oh,
wow.
My
God. I think I need to give up this podcasting career and do something better. Like make a new photography book. You know what? I think I'll take a bunch of pictures of salmon in human clothing. It's like shooting fish in apparel.
Okay, wait. It's shooting fish in apparel. Okay,
apparel.
Apparel. Oh, in apparel. I got it. Okay. It took me a second, but wow,
Wow. Yeah, that was a bad one.
Do you know, Mr. Barry?
Tell me, please.
I will tell you what gives milk and has one horn.
I don't know. Tell me, please.
I'll tell you. A milk truck.
A milk truck. It's so dumb. So dumb.
So.
Do you know, Taben? Do you know what
I do
you
know
give Taben. A dog?
Have you met know, me?
So, Taben, what do you give a dog that has a fever?
Skim milk.
No, you give it mustard because that's the best thing for a hot dog.
Oh, boop. Oh, well, you know, there was a flower.
Okay.
And there was a bee.
A flower and a bee.
And what do you know what that flowers say to the bee?
Don't know. What does the flower say to the bee?
Quit bugging me. It's no.
Wow.
So bad. Wow. So bad. This is like even worse than usual. All you furs, I apologize.
We apologize. It's terrible.
I've got three more on this page. We got to make this through.
I know, but this is one of our longest episodes. But anyway, you know, Harry? Harry has decided to go into acting with his wife, Meghan Markle. So now you know who Harry is.
Okay. Harry Markle. Okay.
Right. Yeah, Harry Markle. His stage name is going to be the artist formerly known as The Prince. Oh, wow. I'm so sorry. I know.
Jamil. Topical. Jamil. I blame Jamal.
Yes.
For Jamil for what and Juan his did, burrito. Because yes. He is exhausted of playing Scrabble.
Do you have
that
one more joke?
That was a disaster. That was.
You have one more joke.
I have two more.
Spelled as okay. Two more.
Okay, I have three more. Okay.
I have one more though. So you do two, and I'll do one. Then you do the last one.
Okay. Okay. We have a plan. There's a plan.
What plan?
What is the difference between a hill and a pill?
Don't know.
One is hard to get up, and the other is hard to get down. Oh, boop.
Oh.
What animal drops from the clouds?
I don't know. What animal drops from the clouds?
The reindeer.
Oh, well, that's good because I hear down in Africa, they tried to bless the rains. It was a toto failure.
I actually like that. Well,
with that,
what I want to know.
Yes.
If you could tell me. What begins with E and ends with E and has a letter in between?
I don't know. What?
Okay. So let me read that again because I had to take a moment for myself just to prepare.
Okay. Just prepare
that I'm actually
for the,
going to
for
say
for the terribleness. This. Yes. Okay.
What begins with E and ends with E and has a letter in between?
I don't know. What?
An envelope.
Oh.
I am done.
Well, Tabin, it's time to make this episode better by ending it. We had a great time hearing about FWA from Connor, and we've had
burritos.
We've had some usual, you know, disasters. Torturing our listeners with bad jokes and puns. Tabin, and we are one week closer to our trip to BLFC. So be sure to find us and see us and give us a hug and get some swag from us.
Get some swag. And get some bro.
Get some swag. Right. Get some bro. Get some tokens. Get some stickers. Get some goodies and things in that little bag. Be sure to help us out as best you can.
Get a bobby pin.
Get a bobby pin. No, there's no bobby pins in there.
Okay.
There's no Robert pins in there either.
No, he's really unhappy from all the pins we took from him last time.
He is. You can help support us through donations at Ko-Fi or Patreon, buy our merch at Bonfire, and you can share our show with all your friends and family, all your enemies, anybody you don't like. Share our show with us, with them, because, you know, it's torture. So until next week, I say, Mubark Fluff and stay furry. Tabin, take us out.
The lunch I'm taking you out to is now, and I say yes, as I always say, it means so much to us. If you're listening to us, if you enjoy, we hope you enjoy it. If you don't, we hope you do it because you don't enjoy it. I don't know, but there it is. We hope you enjoy your burrito and everything else that comes in between. So thank you so much for listening. I don't even know what that means. Thank you, everyone, for listening. It means a lot to us. That supports us just by doing that. You can listen to Broad. Well, you can listen to it too if you want, but you can also buy some. Check it out. It's really great stuff. You can do things. As a matter of fact, I'm going to stop right now and say
goodnight.
We can't wait to hug you at a con someday. Thank you for listening so much to us. I say moo bark fluff. Thank you so much. We love you. I wag. Until next time, bark, bark.
Barely Furcasting is an Injured Nerve Studio production and is found on all major podcast platforms or can be heard directly at barelyfurcasting.com. The opinions expressed here are those of the hosts and their guests, and no commercial compensation was granted. The FurCast is produced, recorded and directed by Barely Normal, aka Mike Began, and is edited by Barely and our associate editor Rain Raccoon. Opening and closing theme music, as well as some interstitial music, was created for Injured Nerves Productions for the use on the podcast by Reg Day with Damian Tanuki. If you would like to hear more music by Reg Day, you can search for Tweezerbeak on Bandcamp or Hoop Loop Tunes on SoundCloud. Other interstitial and background music by Shane Ivers through SilvermanSound.com, Gator Tots on SoundCloud.com, and the YouTube Free Is Library. Social media presences is maintained by Ziggy the Mean Weasel. Transformation Station is written and directed by Lux Operon with Rain Raccoon and is edited by Rain Raccoon. If you would like to send us a message, you can do so via email at barelyfurcasting@gmail.com or on our Telegram chat at BFFTChat, on Twitter, on our Facebook page, or on the barelyfurcasting.com webpage. You can help support the show through donations at ko-fi.com/barelyfurcasting or through Patreon at patreon.com/barelyfurcasting. Thanks for listening. We hope you come back and listen next week.